This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. In that last story, we heard reporter Lisa Carmack ask a question that prompted this show.
So what do you get out of shooting?
It's a question with many layers here in the United States, a country that was founded in part on the right to bear arms. It's fundamental, and the Second Amendment to the Constitution. But that right comes with overwhelming responsibility and controversy. There are approximately 30,000 gun deaths in the U.S. every year. Many involve people who don't own guns. Many involve children. So the nation is torn, and even people who themselves want to own and shoot guns can find themselves conflicted. Jay Allison is one of those people. He's an award-winning journalist who revived Edward R. Murrow's This I Believe series for NPR. And after a period of national trauma post-9/11 and personal trauma following a divorce, Allison found himself drawn to doing something many people want to do, buy a gun. Here's his story.
When I was young, I liked to shoot guns. I hunted a little and shot targets. I was a member of the NRA and got my marksmanship badges. I was a pretty good shot and was proud of it. Rifles and shotguns seemed the most exquisite recreational instruments, powerful and finely tooled. Deep in the heart of me. After I graduated from college, my best childhood friend, the one I used to play war games with in the woods, was murdered, shot in the back by an anonymous gunman in the Zebra murders in San Francisco. His father shifted his life entirely, quit his executive job, and founded the lobbying group Handgun Control, which I supported, losing my own interest in guns and coming to fear them and their proliferation in America in too many hands. When Nick was shot, I was traveling in Europe, and I saw pictures of him in the papers, lying in his own blood on the street. And I had to answer delicate questions from my European friends about whether we are an essentially violent people in America, why we have such an active relationship with weapons. In answering, I thought about my own boyhood ease with guns and the comfort of them. That I've got you under my skin. Almost 30 years later, with my marriage failing, I thought again of owning a gun, a handgun. Not for any aggressive reason, but because it seemed like it might help me recall the security of childhood while reminding me I was a man and protect me like a pioneer going into harsh new terrain alone.
Our recommendation is a 4-inch double-action revolver chambered in .357 Magnum.
I went shopping, jittery and oddly excited before the rows of weapons under glass, inert but full of power.
You would load it, close it, and fire it at whatever it was you needed to fire it at.
My children thought I was foolish and strange, especially when I showed them the target I had filled with bullet holes at the gun shop.
Oh, Dad.
What do you mean, oh, Dad?
That is weird, Dad. That
Why do you think it's weird?
Because it's not you.
While I was considering the purchase, I bought gun magazines and read the hyperbolic narratives about self-defense, which generally featured a so-called maniac on the loose, stoppable only by the citizen whose threatened liberties still enabled him to carry a concealed weapon.
This is the only kind of person you can shoot.
Just bad guys.
Bad guys.
My divorce became inevitable. At the same time, actual maniacs flew airplanes into buildings, and perhaps along with a tide of helpless people seeking defense against unpredictable forces, I bought a gun. Two, actually. Used Smith & Wesson handguns, a .357 Magnum nickel-plated revolver, and a 9mm high-capacity semi-automatic pistol. I practiced at the range. I found some comfort in harnessing explosive energy, in practicing accuracy. Sometimes, with the new language of anthrax, sarin, and dirty bombs on the TV in the background, I fired an empty gun at the walls of my bedroom. I I am writing these words in Europe, in a cafe with Frank Sinatra on the radio. I am sitting alone, a gun-owning American. Down the road from where I sit, a crew is making a gangster movie and large crowds gather, hoping for a glimpse of one of the American stars. The images in the newspaper beside me are of American soldiers with weapons aimed casually at naked prisoners in abject postures. My friends here cautiously want to know what sort of people we are, what we're capable of, how far we'll go. I tell them what I've always believed about the American character, how our freedom should breed tolerance and creativity. I do not mention my guns. They ask me, again, as they did 30 years ago, if we are a violent people, if they should fear us. I've been teaching my son to shoot, teaching him gun safety, respect for weapons. This has always made sense to me, better to know and understand than to ignore. When I get home to America this time, though, it will be time to think about it all again, about our country and its fear, about defense and maniacs, and about why I have these guns, whether they offer comfort, what they're good for. Get up, wake up to reality. And each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. Because I've got you under my skin, and I like you under my skin.